Welcome back to The Political Impact. My name is Kelsey Hickman. I'm your host, and thank you for joining us today on November 8th, 2021. Today's episode is the second episode of the podcast, and the themes of today are gender and politics and women in politics. I got the pleasure of interviewing two student leaders here at Laurier, Sarah and Muskan, who are executive members of the Women Leading Politics Association here at Laurier. It was super fun getting to interview these girls and get inspired by their ideas and their opinions. We got to talk all about the importance of being a politically active female student, also the importance of having equal gender representation in our government. Just wanted to put a small trigger warning that some of the topics discussed are controversial or sensitive, including sexual assault and missing and murdered Indigenous women. Please enjoy. Okay, welcome guys. So today we have a very special interview with the exec team of WLPA. WLPA stands for Women Leading Politics Association, which is a club here at Wilfrid Laurier University. We're going to talk to some student leaders today about the club and about women in politics. So welcome guys. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Awesome. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So exciting.
Awesome. So excited to chat with you guys today. So let's start with introducing yourself, who you are, and what you study here at Laurier.
Okay. I can go first if you want.
Sure.
So my name is Sarah Cody. I'm 21 years old. I'm a third year political science student with a minor in English.
Awesome.
I'm Muskan. I'm currently 19. I'm actually turning 20 in 5 days.
So oh my gosh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'm in my third year of political science and women and gender studies. I recently just declared a double major in that.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. You're the perfect prototype for today. you guys can bounce back and forth. I won't ask anyone specifically, but I wanted to ask, what is the club? So what is Women Leading Politics Association, and when was the club started and how?
Okay, I can begin on that one if you want. So the Women Leading Politics Association is a student-run club at Laurier. It was founded in 2020 by myself, where I just wanted to become more involved on campus, but you know, like nothing really stood out to me. I didn't really feel drawn to any other club particularly. So I thought to myself, well, why not just like create the exact club that I want to be a part of? So I started drafting ideas. I wrote down the values of the club, what I envisioned it could do. And then I just figured like I wanted it to be a safe space at Laurier for anyone to come, they can join. And then at that point, I just had all my thoughts collected and I was ready to begin the forms, begin the whole process. So I brought all my ideas to my co-president last year, Zoe Kirby. So I thought I knew her for a couple of years. She knew how to start a club. So I brought my ideas to her and we started filling out forms. And then at the end of summer 2020, WLPA was a confirmed and official club at Laurier. And then thus we began.
Amazing. And the club is brand new then. So it started during COVID. What were the challenges there?
It did start during COVID. There was many challenges. Actually, we couldn't all meet in person. We
couldn't have any
meetings. Like it was kind of like a little awkward stage because you're trying to meet new people, you're trying to get your club out there, but you can't be on campus, like you can't hold booths in the concourse, like nothing to really promote your club except for social media, and that only goes so far. So yeah, that was definitely a challenge too.
Yeah, definitely. And then, yeah, no, go for it.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm just a newer member of the club actually. So that was definitely something Sarah can speak on because she is the founder. She founded this club, but she created it from scratch.
That's awesome. And congratulations, Sarah. That's a major accomplishment for sure.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
So for transparency, I am a brand ambassador for WLPA, just for listeners to know. And these girls are amazing, super supportive. And our club actually for right now is all females. And I wanted to ask you guys, is the club gender specific? Why or why not?
It's not, because so when we hire for roles within the club, whenever we post on social media, do sign up sheets, anything like that, I always emphasize that WLPA is open to anyone regardless of gender, age, political affiliation, or program, because realistically, like I said, I did create this club to provide a safe space for anyone, not just women, females, not just like them. It's open to anyone, but as long as you're a student, you can, and you attend Laurier and you support female empowerment, feminism, then like WLPA is open to you. But right now, and for the last 2 years, it has just been a women-led club. But like, that's okay too. Like, I don't mind that. We're all like strong females. We're politically active. So everything that the club holds value-wise, the club members do as well.
Right. Awesome. Yeah, no, that's great. I think that not having a specific gender for the club is really important, because I think it takes both, right, for equality.
Of course.
Awesome. And we have touched on Sarah being the founder and the president. Muskan, if you want to talk about your specific role that you play for WLPA.
So, not that long ago, I became WLPA's vice president. And it was like the best thing to ever happen to me. Anyways, so the specific role I play, mainly I would say I basically act like Sarah and Veronica's like right hand, kind of like whatever they need, I kind of like outsource it, or, you know, just make sure that everything's like, you know, if they need help with anything, or if the rest of the team needs help with anything, you know, kind of just like overseeing that, like the rest of the team as well, just like making sure everything's going smoothly. And right now I took over the member of the weeks, so that's been like really fun, because it's just such a little like thoughtful, empowering thing. I love doing that.
Yeah. Do you want to touch on a little bit what that is, that like weekly event that we do, or weekly empowerment moment?
Yeah, so basically, well, we obviously like want our team to know like how much like we all like appreciate each other, and like how much like we recognize like the work that is done, and like the ideas that are brought, and just like every like participation, everything. And like we want our members to know that we appreciate that. So Veronica and Sarah came up with the idea of like a member of the week, where we send out a Google form, and everybody can nominate whoever they want for the member of the week. And then they kind of add a little description of like why they're like the reasons for nomination. And then I look through all of it and then see who are our two members of the week. And then And I, if we have a meeting, then we'll announce at the meeting. But if not, then I'll just send in the chat. And I just think it's really cute. And it just like, you know, it fosters like kind of community within our club.
Absolutely. I was going to touch on that. It definitely fosters some club bonding and getting to know everybody, because there is a lot of members, which is always a good thing, right? The more the merrier. Okay. So I just wanted to ask last thing about the introductory is, what are some of the objectives that WLPA wants to accomplish this year?
That is a very good question. This year, we're still kind of in the works for a lot of things, but I think one thing for myself that I want to accomplish with the club is just like, I want to continue highlighting like important topics and issues like going on, not just in Canada, but also like internationally. So a project that I started with the club last year for our social media pages is something called Sunday Informatives and Women Wednesdays. As I'm sure people who follow us know that we post every Sunday and Wednesday for the most part. So basically, it's just a Sunday. Every Sunday, a topic is chosen, and it could be recent or ongoing, or it could be a historic event, something that's impacted our society and our values. Women Wednesdays are pretty similar in that way as well. So because we emphasize feminism and all things female empowerment, I wanted to take a day each week to share an encouraging and inspiring story of a woman who has shaped our society or who's currently breaking down gender norms, something like that. Just to get word out, inspire like our followers, stuff like that. Because there are so many topics associated with women, whether it's to highlight that the ways that we're shattering the glass ceiling in the workforce, or if it's gender equality, the ways that it continues to press down on us. So I think, for example, I'll give an example super quick. On September 19th, we decided to discuss the female safety on campus. So just trigger warning, we wanted to spread word on sexual assault, because at the time, that was when news came out about a dozen or more, I could be wrong, reports of sexual assault were made in London at Western University. So literally only an hour away from Laurier. And this was like devastating to hear as a female, because no matter how many precautions we take, men just still don't learn. And like, feel free to chime in on this, but I think it's just like sickening, and like it's like shocking, but like not shocking at the same time, because like men still act this way and they still take advantage of women. We can't walk home alone at night. Like, people still don't think no means no. So we made a post to just spread awareness, provide resources to those affected by sexual assault, and just listed like more precautions to take as a female. But I will note that that I do understand that it's not just females who are victims of sexual assault, but for this case at Western, like, it is. So that's something that we also like to just spread awareness on, and those kind of topics as well, which I think is really important.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like a big aspect of our club is like also just like responding to like what's going on, you know, like that happened, and then we as a club, we have to see like, okay, like what can we do to support like our group, at least, like, you know, our little community that we're like trying to build, of like how can we empower them and how can we create a support group for them, you know? So it's kind of just like about like responding to things, and also just like, yeah, like Sarah said, like using our platform to educate further, because there's literally so much to learn always. Like, there's no such thing as like running out of like topics that we can talk about in our club. Like, I genuinely don't think that there, like, that is something that could happen, because there's just so much to learn. And then also like having more speakers come in that we can learn from, you know, listen to their voices, or like even like maybe speakers with like lived experiences of certain issues, you know, like if they obviously feel free to speak about it. And like, I feel like that really amplifies certain voices. A cool thing that we, like, a goal for WLPA.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree with that. And it's so important to have the informative aspect of political issues, and to explain what's going on and to detail what's going on. But also the second step, which I touched on in my first podcast a little bit, is that, okay, so how do we get involved? Where is the solution? Where do we go to? And I think a lot of people become apathetic and think, well, I mean, I'm just one person. I don't know what I'm going to do with that huge issue, like how you said, Sarah, of sexual assault, or especially in universities that we did witness at Western this year. So, I mean, it's great that you guys have both aspects, because I think that's really important. And those are the two steps to being politically active.
Yeah. And sorry, just to add one more thing also, like on our WLPA Instagram, we do have a link in our bio that has a list of resources to many things. So there's like mental health outreaches, there's advocacy and allyship resources, Black Lives Matter resources and petitions. So stuff like that, Indigenous support organizations. Like, we have multiple outreaches and support systems that are linked on our page that anyone can go to anytime if they want to further educate themselves or help or just start somewhere. So that's also something that we included on our page as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's super important. Okay, so let's get into it. A little more personal note on why you guys are politically active and what that exactly means to you. So that's a very broad term, and you can narrow it down any way you want. But what does being politically active as a female, as a student, what does that mean to you?
I would say, I think like from a young age, like I've always found myself advocating for myself. And I don't know, like, I guess like that kind of just like ingrained into me as I grew older. But like now I have a much better scope, obviously, of what I think being politically active is. And like we mentioned earlier, like I think that there's the informative aspect. Like, of course, like I am so aware like that education is very inaccessible for a lot of people. But as students at Laurier, we do have access to the Laurier Library online. So many online resources, like so many platforms that we can use like for free on Google as well. So I just think that like I said before, like there's no such thing as like knowing everything. So like the informative aspect for sure, like staying up to date, learning, you know, like going back and like understanding like why these things, like certain issues continue to be so like relevant in our society, when it's like, why, you know, like people always say like, oh, it's the like 21st century, like this stuff doesn't happen, when it's like, no, actually this is actually a very prevalent issue. Anyways, so aside from the informative aspect, I think that a huge thing is like organizing with the community, like staying up to date with what we can do like locally or internationally. Like we are in a digitalized world, like there's so much we can do sitting on our like phones and laptops. Mutual aid is a very big thing that I think is being part of being politically active, like providing support and taking action, like seeing like, okay, what can be done, you know, reaching out to local politicians, MPs, urging them to take action for sure. Yeah.
And I think a lot of students, I love that last point that you said, reaching out to local MPs. And I think a lot of students don't think that we have the ability to do that. They don't even think that that's in our realm of capabilities, being a young person, just early voting, or just starting to vote. Maybe some haven't even voted yet, right? Just turning of age to vote. And I think that's really important to know that these people are here to help us, right? They're here to reflect our societal values in our government. And I think that they're very accessible, and it takes just a quick internet search to do so.
Mm-hmm. It's literally a click of a button.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Sarah, do you want to hop on that? Politically active means to you?
Yeah, for sure. I think that I was the same as Muskan. So I think just growing up, I've always had like a strong head on my shoulders. My friends like to tell me that I'm pretty stubborn, which I don't think I am. So that's a different topic. But I think just being politically active to me just means like continuously learning and unlearning certain habits. I think shaping my opinion and being open-minded to all aspects of the political sphere is so important, whether it's like which party I stand with, inequalities within a workforce, like climate change. There are so many things that I can just voice my opinion on. And I think that it's really important to just never, ever, ever shrink yourself to make others feel comfortable. I think advocating for things I believe in is also really important. It's really important aspect to being politically active. And same thing as Muskan said before, education, so important because it's so inaccessible for so many people across the world. There are things I've learned over the years, and there's things that I continue to learn. And education is one of the most important outlets, I would say. because being politically active, if you don't form your own opinions and your own beliefs, if you're just following the crowd or you're listening to social media outlets that could potentially just be fake news or don't provide the whole truth, like, what are you advocating for then? How are you educating yourself to be better? How are you educating yourself to do better for future generations, for minority groups? Like, what are you doing to form your own opinions to benefit society and yourself? I think education is just the main point here of everything, learning and unlearning so many things. So,
yeah. And I also think thinking to yourself and examining whose voice is, or who are you learning from? Right. You know, I think that's a huge thing, right? That's just something that is just very important to me, because it's obviously I have my voice, but then it's with my voice, which other voices am I going, how am I going to use my voice to amplify those voices? You know, I don't want to talk over them if it's not something that is affecting me personally. I'm not going to speak over them, but how do I learning how to amplify those voices, you know? Definitely. And center, which voice, ask yourself, which voices are you centering in your activism, you know?
Definitely.
That's a big thing too.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. And I want to narrow the conversation down from where you just, the point you just brought up of not overstepping the voices that actually are affected by those issues. And that can come in a lot of different forms, a lot of different colors, but it can also be a gender specific issue, right? It could be men speaking for women. So I wanted to ask you guys, as women, the three of us women here, why is it important that women are part of the conversation? And how can you encourage female students to get involved in politics?
That is a great question. I think it's important for females to be part of the conversation locally and internationally, because we just need more female political leadership. I think it's important to increase representation in government especially, but also locally and internationally. Representation and equal opportunity for all communities are crucial. I think that although we've made progress locally and internationally of women being represented in government, there's still very prominent barriers that we face. So I think that just the percentage of women holding elected office, so if women have equal political opportunities to me, then shouldn't their percentages be similar to that of men? Of course, right. At the end of the day, individuals that are elected will have the most experience and are better suited for the job. But I think prior to the selection, the numbers should be similar to both men and women if they have equal opportunity, as people have said. Women's participation in politics also, it can't be separated from other critical aspects of our lives. So marriage, family, employment, these are all barriers that need to be taken into consideration when we speak of political participation. So I think representation is a big thing, but there's just so many barriers that we still face to try to have equal opportunity in political participation. Muskana, feel free to chime in.
Yeah, I just think that it's important for us women to take over kind of the conversation when it comes to this, just because if we look at the social relations that they continue to function as tools of oppression through the system we live in and our institutions, our system is embedded with heteropatriarchy, racism, colonialism, and white supremacy, you know? So it's okay, how do we as a community of women, you know, how do we respond to this, you know? And it's I think it's I wanted to mention this in the last question. Sorry, I completely just forgot my train of thought there.
That's okay. I actually think you froze for a minute there. So
I think you did too.
Definitely recruit yourself. Go for it. If you know where you're going with it. Maybe I can jump on in and say, I think, especially being part of a democratic society, right? We want to have, it's for the people, by the people, right? Yeah. We want to have our people represented. And there needs to be a certain reflection about our representation and what our society looks like. Yeah. If it's unproportionate, then obviously the legislation that's created or the resolutions that are created are not going to necessarily match or fit our society and what we want, right? Especially when it comes to women.
Exactly.
I think it only benefits the conversation.
Yeah.
No, it does.
Yeah, for sure.
You saying that just reminded me of what I was going to say. Yeah, like I was just thinking about how it's like these systems, like they are, like they were built off of, and they are embedded with like heteropatriarchy, for example. And it's not, at the end of the day, like it's not the institutions or like the highest level of government that's going to care, you know? So it's kind of like, how do we as a community like push towards that issue? What can we do on this like level? Because I feel like there's four levels of change, you know, like there's individual, societal, community, and then institutional, right?
Absolutely.
So it's like, how can we like bring upon change on all of these levels, you know? Right. But like institutional comes way, like it's like you really, really have to really have to push ourselves to get there, you know? Like I said before, like contacting local MPs, you know, they can directly apply pressure, you know, like that's a big thing. Like we can't, like I can't just text Justin Trudeau and be like, yo, I'm feeling a little oppressed today, you know, like no, like we can't do that, unfortunately, because they don't care. So
well, it's not that they don't care, it's just that you don't have access to them directly, right? I don't want to say that any political leader doesn't care about the individual, because then those who are politically apathetic win. And I don't think that their argument is necessarily true, or it's fair to say that every individual in a democratic society, because by theory we're supposed to all matter, right? And I like you're saying, like sort of
to an extent.
So in theory, the way that we want to have equal representation for both genders in our local and our national governments, that is how it should be. It shouldn't even be an argument in a democratic society, right?
Yeah, like I
jump in on that.
I wouldn't say like they don't care, but I feel like a better way to word it would be like they don't necessarily know how to care until like we advocate that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, like, they need to know what we care about to represent like us, for sure.
I literally always say this to everybody around me, like nobody will advocate for you until you advocate for yourself, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, because nobody know, like it's hard for someone to help you unless you advocate for yourself first, you know? So that's why I think empowerment is like a huge like political thing too.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I think there's also like strength in numbers as well.
Yeah,
because I think at some point they kind of just like turn a blind eye until there's enough people to get their attention as well. So I think it definitely starts with you. It starts with you educating yourself and then educating others. And then when you have enough people, then like maybe they'll pay attention to you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's how change starts, just from a small aspect of the huge, big, big picture, right? You know, starting with the individual, for sure. I wanted to jump in and talk about if there is a specific local or national political issue that really impacts you guys or really ignited you guys to get involved in politics, is there something that you advocate for more or less than other issues? Because we could go on and on, right? A political issue can be anything from when my garbage gets picked up to climate change. So we could be a little more specific on which ones affect you guys and why they're important to you and some of the solutions that you think may be good or bad or why.
Yeah, I think that it can be a very broad term, but also I think for myself, particularly for many years, I think I've advocated for Indigenous people's rights, and I try to spread awareness on the issue, whether it's in conversation with my friends or my family or through the club, let's say, because we have talked about some issues. So I think that as Canadians, it should be known by now that we are living on stolen land. Let's just get it out there. So touching on like settler colonialism, I think that it's not primarily focused on race, but it's rather access to territory. So European settlers pushed and like they've taken away rights of Indigenous people. Indigenous people found the land. They settled here first and we took that away from them. And
maybe if you now, just want to touch on the we.
Sorry?
Who's the we? The colonizers.
Like, oh, yeah.
Race. Yeah, for sure.
White people.
Yes.
just to be blunt sure. about it. I can just be blunt about it, I guess.
Yeah,
white people, sure. European settlers. I just think that, like, they were here first. So to take that away from them, when Europeans, quote unquote, discovered the land, discovered Canada, which is now the lands that we live on, Indigenous people, when they first founded it, it didn't matter that other people, those people being Indigenous communities, it didn't matter that they lived on the land because Canada is a settler colonial country. So meaning it was just originally founded by people who moved to this part of the world from somewhere else, and that sovereignty territory was declared by foreign powers. So let's just say that there are signed treaties and there are many issues that came out of these signed treaties. Sorry, I won't go into too much detail. This is something I could talk about for so long.
Sure. I mean, do you want to touch on maybe, so we've touched on the beginning, right? And now it's become a centuries-long systemic issue, right? And it's become politicized because why? Why do you think it's become politicized? What are some of the solutions or some of the systematic struggles that Indigenous people face now? I think a lot of people would argue with you. This is not my personal opinion, but maybe people would argue with you that was a long time ago. How would you combat that argument? That was a long time ago. It doesn't affect us now. What would you say to that? What is the argument about how it's centuries long and systemic?
I think that those people are just not educated. I think they're being ignorant because this is Canada's history. This is our history. I think it's ignorant to not realize what's going on in your own country, what has been going on. Like when the unmarked graves came out on the news, everyone was like, oh my gosh, like
of residential schools. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. Of residential schools. They're like, I can't believe this is happening in Canada. Like blah, blah, blah. I just think it's very ignorant for people not to be educated on your own history. You're living in Canada. So why not just know your history? But Muskan, feel free to chime in on your own part, not on this, but on your own.
I was actually just going to add on to what you said, like, just like, I guess, like, understanding that, like, it's our history, but mm-hmm. it's also systemic, and it's like an ongoing tool of oppression against Indigenous communities. Like, if you look into like how residential schools became like the welfare system in Canada, you know, like that's like there's been like Indigenous children are still being taken away from their communities. You know, it's an ongoing tool of oppression. And like if you look into this, like the sterilization of Indigenous women, like it's like this is real, like this happens here, you know. And it's just a matter of like that's the thing, like the whole point of like it being like an ongoing tool of oppression is so that it's hidden, you know, like right. this just keeps happening. And like, it's a tool to control populations. So it's like, we need to be aware of what's going on and we need to see how we can amplify Indigenous voices, what we can do for Indigenous communities as settlers in Canada.
Right, and that's what I was gonna jump in on is that I love, Sarah's advocating for Indigenous rights. But I think, Sarah, what Muskan said about emphasizing those voices, right? Those Indigenous voices that have been muted throughout history, like you were saying, right? Well, that's the important part of where we are now, is to ensure Indigenous voices are being heard, are being recognized, and that their systemic and transgenerational trauma is evaluated, right? I think that the TRC, for those who don't know, is the Truth and Reconciliation Commission from 2015, with 94 calls to action of the government. And we just passed one, which was the Reconciliation Day, right, on September 30th. So we are making progress little by little, and maybe sometimes that looks like not enough. Right? Would you guys argue not enough? Or would you say, well, I mean, it is progress, we're getting there, but it's a slow generational, right? Where would you go about that?
Like, definitely not enough, because we can acknowledge as much as we want, you know, we can we can make a day towards Indigenous communities, but, you know, like, what do Indigenous communities really want? You know, like, right. what are they asking for?
Well, they did. It was a call to action to have.
Yeah, that, like, exactly.
So it is important that we do have but we want to point and get to more calls of action, right? We want to make sure that there's clean water in these reserves, right? Yeah. Just as one example, or that we do uncover these unsighted graves, right? Yeah. Maybe that's something where Canada can start.
I feel like all these calls to action, like, I feel like they work together, you know?
Right.
You can't really just pull one out and say that's enough, you know? Obviously, we start somewhere, for sure. We start somewhere. We can start small, sure. But given, like, the treatment of Indigenous people for how many years and, like,
years
ongoing, like, send, like,
right,
you know? Absolutely. Like, it's like, I feel like there should be more action, you know?
Yeah,
I think it's ridiculous that they don't even have basic necessities, like you just talked about briefly, Kelsey, like clean drinking water. Right. I've seen many videos on social media just of, like, Indigenous communities turning on their tap, and it's fully water filled with dirt. Just brown water. I think it's ridiculous that they don't have these basic necessities. And we've been, like, talking about Indigenous communities for years, let's say, but even now with, like, the National Truth and Reconciliation Day, what is being done now? Like, yes, everyone was talking about National Truth and Reconciliation Day on the day, but what about after that? What comes after? Sure, we can implement all of these aspects to benefit them, but what's really going on? What, like Muscon said, what do they want? What do they need? They should be a priority in Canada, I think.
# land back.
Well, absolutely. I think they should be a priority for sure. And maybe to touch on gender, is that we've already been talking about how women are vulnerable. Was one of our topics that we briefly discussed, and also education, right? And how education isn't accessible to all people. Well, maybe we should touch on the systemic Indigenous issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women. That's a huge issue in Canada, right? And it does touch on gender and politics and everything that we've talked about. So maybe briefly, if you guys wanted to talk about your maybe not solutions, but your take on the issue and why it's important.
I think that something just what you said earlier, it was people might say, well, that's in the past, like, this stuff doesn't happen anymore. Well, no, like, you're wrong. It still happens, just as we can see of this topic here, missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. People are being taken. I've seen and read articles that have explain that these women or girls, young girls, let's say too, have been taken off of the highway, let's say, and they are abused, they are sexually assaulted, and they just don't end up being found. Like I've seen so many, read so many articles of women that are still missing from years ago. Like it's ridiculous, right? And it blows my mind that this is happening and people don't, they don't know about it. Like people in Canada, let's say, or let's say like your family and your friends, maybe they don't know about the topic. They don't know what's going on in Canada, or maybe they just simply like don't care. But I think that's where the education starts. I think that's if you know about the topic, and you should share about it, you should educate your friends and your family. I know it's like kind of a difficult conversation to have, especially with family. But I think that is so important. Education is so important, and knowing what is going on in your own country. I think you just need to know instead of being ignorant about it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that we can say that the other side of this debate is, well, I mean, girls go missing and murdered all the time, right? Why is it just Indigenous women? Well, it's disproportionate, like how we were saying, it's disproportionate to the number of our population, to the girls that go missing or the girls that are murdered. They target the vulnerable sector. They target the Indigenous women because they're less likely to be found, less likely to be broadcasted or put on the media. And it's not that it does demonstrate that our population sees them as less valuable.
Yeah.
And what do you guys want to say about that?
Let me just jump in really, really quick, and then I'll hand it over to Muskan. Just something you said about like the news outlet and such. Mm-hmm. I think there was, I can't remember when it was, maybe it was early October, end of September. There was all over like my social media pages and news outlets. It was the missing Gabby Petito, I think is her last name.
The US, yeah.
Yes. So she went missing. And then I saw so many, not to say backlashes, but just like, well, she's getting coverage, so why can't our Indigenous missing and murdered girls and women have coverage as well? Or even missing Black women, any person of color, why aren't they getting coverage? But Gabby is. And just for those that don't know, Gabby is a Caucasian white female. So why is she getting the coverage, but no other community is, right? That's just
right. And I mean that the US is one in itself, right? This is a problem in Canada as well. Mm-hmm. I think that bringing up the conversation and recognizing that there's so many other voices and people, or women, let's say women, that went missing and weren't nearly as publicized, right? But that's the first step. So what are these women's names? Let's do the research. Let's do the Google search, right? Actually recognizing these women as individuals, instead of like how Gabby was, instead of how they're looked at as a group. The group is the first stage, right? That's the first step. But in order to actually find these women, or to stop making it such a racially identified issue, is to recognize them as individuals, right? Yeah. If we're upset that the media isn't, I mean, that's the power of social media, right? Upset that the mainstream media isn't giving enough coverage to these voices, then let's use our own platforms and let's do it ourselves, right? And I think, speaking of those women's names, because I can't even name them, right? But I know Gabby Petito. And I think that says a lot about
social media.
Absolutely. And that first step, but pushing it to the next step, right? Of actually finding the names of these women and seeing them as real people.
Yeah, and I feel like this is literally like an example of like how our social relations like do continue to function as tools of oppression that are embedded in like ongoing colonialism, you know? Like I feel like we might see colonialism as like something of the past, but in fact it's ongoing in Canada, like against Indigenous Indigenous communities. And so yeah, it's kind of just seeing like, okay, so how do we respond to this, you know?
Sure.
Like what do we do from here?
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
How do we like, amplify their voice? How do we support them and listen to what they want?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, we've been, we've talked about it for 10, 15 minutes. These are very complex issues, right? They're not going to take one simple solution, right? It's not a populist answer. It's going to be something that's drawn out, that takes a lot of different voices, a lot of different perspectives to actually find a solution. And I don't think solutions are something that happen overnight. Right, would you guys agree with that? Would you say that there are simple solutions that we're not following?
I think there's like simple solutions, like, or not simple solutions, but I would say simple actions we can take mm-hmm. to like reach towards like a bigger like solution to bring about change, like I said before, like right. the four different levels of change, right?
So simple actions starting from the individual for yeah. the complex solutions of the awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I like how you articulated that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That was a good way to think about it. Yeah. I don't think there's a simple solution to a complex issue, but I think it's a simple starting point yeah. within yourself to then solve the more institutionalized issue.
Yeah.
Right. It's the changing of perspective. Yeah, for yeah. sure. And to educate yourself, how we said education is number one.
Yeah.
And that's why we do love Wilfrid Laurier University. Thank you so much for providing that post-secondary education to us. we can talk about this forever, but I am running out of time,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Okay.
but going forward, let's talk about something that I love that WLPA does is Women Wednesdays, where you guys highlight one strong Canadian or international political role model that really is inspiring, and it happens to be a woman, and showcasing that, you know, you can be what you can see, and if these women can do it, so can we. So I wanted to know if you guys wanted to name one of your strong female role models that you may have at Laurier, and then also you may have in the realm of politics.
Sure, I can go first. So I think I don't have like an entire list of people that have inspired me, but I think that in my first year at Laurier, I did have one professor. I might butcher her name, so forgive me, but it was PO 101, Dr. Van Neaton, I think is how you say her name. It was my first year, first semester at Laurier, and I was in a completely different program. I was actually in communications with management, and then I took a poli-sci course, that specific one. And then I just loved it. I loved all the content that she gave during lectures. She was always so energized during the lectures and so passionate about everything she talked about. She brought in candidates that were riding in the KW area during the election in 2019. And I thought that was so cool, such a good way to get us all informed. And I think she just sparked my more like passionate interest in politics. And then next semester, I just switched into poli-sci. So
absolutely.
I think I should just give her credit for that.
Yeah, so that's Dr. DVN is who you're referring to, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I was definitely in that class too, actually.
Yeah.
And she's awesome. She's great.
So good.
We love Dr. DVN.
Yeah, and we need those strong female role models, right? Especially in the education system, to see her be a professor, right? And to have that role of authority and of so much accomplishment that she's had. It's really amazing. And really, really, really inspiring, truly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For me, I wanted to actually highlight my like supervisor / coordinator that I met and worked for through like Laurier's community service learning program.
Awesome. Yeah.
So her name's Ajiriro Jenny. She's the executive director at Kind Minds Family Wellness, which is a not-for-profit organization that acknowledges diversity and cultural identities in its provision of like short and long-term culturally informed supports to Black communities in the Waterloo region. And she, like, I can't even begin to explain, like, she just inspires me so much. She's an amazing advocate, and like she has just like shed light and like insight for me on like anti-Black racism practices and like how to integrate that within like four levels of change, you know, like that's where I learned all of this from. And like intersectionality, like self-care and like seeking change in our community through connectedness, you know, like I never understood like really what community is until like she invited me to like their first like in-person events and stuff, and I was like, wow, like, you know, this is great. But yeah, she's so inspirational, she's amazing. I'm definitely gonna send this to her so she can listen to this. She probably has no idea that I mentioned
her. Oh, that's
her.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. And that's, they're not even doing it for the credibility, right? They're doing it because they love it and they want to inspire people like us. And I, for one, hope that I can be a female role model and advocate for younger women, especially having a younger sister. Okay, guys, please plug your club. What is LPA have planned for this year?
Well, we do have an event coming up on the 20th or 21st. We're going back and forth between the dates right now, trying to get everyone's schedule in, but it is going to be a intimate conversation with some political candidates that were running in the most recent election, so in October, just in the KW area. We just want one female from each party to come in, so preferably just three females, to come in, speak to us about their political affiliation, how their time was when they ran in the most recent election, and then we just open it up on the floor for everyone to ask some questions, and I think it would be a good way to just debrief the most recent election. Talk about their role as a female in the most recent election, and in politics in general, just how they are viewed. And I think it'll be a very good and exciting first event for us. So if anyone wants to join, you know where to find us on Instagram.
Yep, hit us up. So
you guys, I would definitely say, last thing is how Laurier students can get involved with the Women's Leading Politics Association Club.
So we will be opening up to general members very soon. So follow our page on Instagram. We will post updates on there for sure. Like, honestly, like in a bigger picture, like we really just want to like empower young women at Laurier with confidence and resilience and just build a community of support, you know, host more events, to use our platform to educate further. Like we're in the midst of like still building our platform, but like we do have a platform right now, you know?
Absolutely.
And we want more of you to be a part of it, you know? So if this is something that like you're drawn to or like it interests you, give us a follow. We'll be opening up to general members soon. So please join us.
Absolutely. And also just to add on to that, we do hire at the end of each year and the beginning of each year usually. So end of each year, so let's just say August, we hire for our brand ambassadors. And then around April, May, we hire for our upcoming executive team. So if you want to be a part of the executive team, then in April is your time to apply. And then if you just want to be a brand ambassador, that is completely okay too. That's in August. And then if you just want to come out to an event, anyone is more than welcome to attend an event. You just have to simply sign up on the Google form on our Instagram page. You can just follow the link. And then you can come to any event if that's another way that you want to get involved. Other than that, if you're still interested, you can shoot us a DM and we will definitely respond. But yeah, it's usually open and we're pretty open-minded to everyone who comes in. So
amazing. Thanks guys so much again for chatting with me. It's been such an inspiring conversation. Once again, listeners, you can follow their Instagram page at WLPA.Laurier. And once again, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. This was honestly so great. Like, Kelsey, you're great. Like,
yeah, like, you're great.
I just love this conversation a lot.
I love having more conversations like this. It's been awesome. Thanks, guys, so much.
All right. I hope that you found that conversation as inspiring and educational as I did. Thank you again, Sarah and Muskan from WLPA, for coming on the show this week. You can find The Political Impact on Instagram now at The Political Impact, no spaces. Thanks so much for listening, and make sure you tune in again next week, Monday at 4 p.m. on Radio Laurier for The Political Impact. I'm Kelsey Hickman, and remember, your voice matters.